Suns, but the defense allowed 254 rushing yards and 538 total yards in that loss. The Rock ran for less than 100 yards and got nearly all of its yardage in the air with Tanner Gary throwing for 488 yards and an SRU record 41 completions. Edinburgh, though, picked up 241 rushing yards and four touchdowns. Walter Fletcher leading the way. And, of course, he's back again this year, and he'll be the guy in that backfield. They do a lot of good things offensively. We'll see what happens with the Edinburgh response this week as they fell flat on the road up at Mercyhurst in Erie. The Lakers jumped out to a 24-6 halftime lead, and neither team would score another point after halftime. Edinburgh finished the day with no touchdowns on the day for the first time in a game since the 2011 season. It was a rare off day for the offense, which had entered the game averaging 41 points per game. They put up 329 yards of total offense, 237 of that in the air, 92 rushing yards, but they were picked off three times in the game. And that was a Mercyhurst team that actually entered the game with no interceptions on the year. Kicker Jake Monroe scored all the points for Edinburgh with a pair of short field goals from 23 and 25 yards. There is going to be an interesting development for the Fighting Scots today. Andrew Tomko has been their starter. That's who played against the Rock last year, but he's not going to start today. They're going to go with the backup, a redshirt junior in Jared Keller. He is from West Virginia, transferred into Edinburgh from Lenore Rhine, where his father, if you remember the old California coach, Mike Keller, that was his dad, and he was down there at Lenore Rhine, got fired at the end of last year, and now is an assistant coach back up this way. But we're going to see Jared Keller, who has had some brief time experience with Edinburgh, but he's going to make that start today. Passing-wise, he is 12 of 30 for 115 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. So that will be an interesting development coming at the Rock today.
Yeah, you look at you were talking throughout the week, you know, looking at the tape on Andrew Tomko, not the most dynamic passer that you're going to find out there, but you're also looking at a guy who had better an experience. You're not necessarily going to get that with Keller at that spot, but maybe an opportunity for them to have a little bit of better talent. I don't want to throw Tomko under the bus like that, but I think that's the move that Edinburgh is going to make here. Let's try to ride a hot hand. They're coming off of a bad loss to Mercyhurst, so they're trying to see maybe this is the spark that their offense needs, and so they're going to go with Keller, and we'll see how the Rock, A, prepared for that, but B, are able to handle it on the field today.
For the Rock, well, it's Roland Rivers, who's 4-0 as a starter. Threw for 293 yards and a touchdown, rushed for another in the upset win at Indiana. And that might have been, you know, when you look at his statistics, might have been his worst game of the year. But it was effective. And, of course, Big Wes Hills in the background, 164 yards in the opener before him being injured on the second play of the game. Missed all of weeks 3 and 4. Saw some limited carry in week 5, but then resumed that starter role last week, and he showed why every team in the NFL has been to the campus here at Slippery Rock this year to see him work. He tallied 182 total yards and had the game-winning score in that big drive to wrap up the game. Rushed for 126 yards, and he caught 5 passes for 56 yards. That's a bulldog effort right there.
Yeah, no question. And when you look at how they're going to prepare, this is an intriguing matchup the whole way across the board. I mean, you know, you talk about the individual matchups, the one-on-one. You know, what can Wes Hills bring to the table? What can, you know, the relief guys, you know, is Jakar Berry, what can Braden Fuffman do? How are they going to be incorporated into this offensive game plan? And then we talked about the bigger stakes here. Obviously, a PSAC West title. You know, as the Rock have put themselves in that position. So this is going to be a fun one because of, well, Edinburgh's had their number. And when you look at what has really been a rather healthy Slippery Rock team, knock on wood, coming into this, they've been banged up here and there. But now they've got their key position players in the spots they want. And so they've had an opportunity to prepare. There is no excuse to come out here and have a bad performance. This has to be their game. It's there for the taking. Big win last week. Can't fall short.
Here comes the Rock onto the field. They are in their dark green jerseys with white letters today and gray pants. And, of course, the white helmet with the big S on the side here for this homecoming affair. And they're flying out onto the field. They look pumped up today. And certainly I think the theme that Coach Sean Lutz has had for his team is that fact that the Fighting Scots have had their number. But in particular, nobody stands in their way right now as far as where they get to that championship game, because California and the Rock are tied. Those two teams are going to meet. If you keep everything clean for a couple of weeks, you're going to play basically for the state championship in that game.
And that's all you want. You want to have an opportunity to control your own destiny, and that's what Sean Lutz and the Slippery Rock program has done this year. An early season loss to Shippensburg, but that really has no impact on their PSAC West Division hopes. And so now, with that big win against IUP, with a big game here against Edinburgh, like you said, you don't want to be looking down the road because there are games, obviously, that are in front of them, but you have a chance to become PSAC West champions. Again, if everything goes right, you've given yourself the opportunity, you're not relying on other pieces, you have it there, it's there for the taking, and you have to be able to accomplish that.
And I meant to say you play for the right to go to the state championship, not win it in that game, because you got to play somebody out of the East, and I'm sure they would take exception to that. But you mentioned the keys being in form or being in place. Henry Litwin last week had at least a touchdown catch in each of the first four games before just one pass catch for 8 yards against Mercyhurst in week five. But he bounced back last week, a career-high tying 7 catches, 100 yards in the game, and it marked his second 100 single-game effort of the year. Meanwhile, Carnell Harley enters the week ranked 4th on the team in catches, but 2nd in receiving yards, and his 21.5 yard per catch average is ranking 17th in the nation right now. Carnell Harley certainly has become a big threat so far this year, and adds to the weaponry that Roland Rivers can fire to. But let's talk about that run defense that has been on a mission. Allowed 236 rushing yards to Kentucky State in the first half of the opener, and since that time, the defense has allowed a total of 345 rushing yards over the next 5.5 games. That's an average of 31 rushing yards per half. That's an incredible streak. If you take away that first half, they might be leading the nation in run defense. It's great to see that because that's what cost the Rock, especially last year in this game.
Yeah, I mean, they have, like I said, the guys in position, Tim Vernick, Tristan McDonald, Brad Zaffram. That's a heck of a three linebacking core that you have there. And so when you put those guys in place, get another year of experience under the belts of Vernick and McDonald, you have Zaffram, the transfer in. It's a much more mature defense physically and mentally. So the idea of knowing where you need to be on the field and the physical maturity of now you can tackle these guys. So I think it goes hand in hand, and the Rock, they've just gotten so much better defensively.
The captains are meeting at midfield. The teams are standing on the field, lined up. It's a sportsmanship week presented by the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. And so the teams are, I don't know if they're going to shake hands or what, but they're actually lined up on the field, which is kind of unique. Slippery Rock won the toss. They are deferring to the second half, and that means Edinburgh is going to receive the ball. So they'll get the ball first out of the gate here today. How about Jake Chaplet? 30 for 30 in point after tries this season. Now has made 61 straight point after kicks dating back to the midway point of last season. That streak ranks him first among all players in Super Region 1 and fourth among all active kickers in Division 2. A pretty incredible streak underway right now for the team down in Texas, Texas A&M Kingsville. Julio De La Garza has a streak of 99. That's an impressive streak, no doubt about it. But Jake Chaplet putting his name right in those ranks, so that's pretty awesome. How about the head coaches? Of course, Sean Lutz in his third year as head coach here at the Rockies, 20-8 overall, but his 23rd season with Slippery Rock University. And on the other side of the field, Wayne Bradford, kind of a similar situation. He's with Edinburgh now for 20 years, second year as head coach. He went 7-4 last year overall after being named the interim coach. And now back in 2017 and was named the permanent coach this year. Bradford spent the 2016 at Edinburgh working with the linebackers and served as defensive coordinator for 10 years prior to that. So kind of a young coaches as far as the matchup here today.
And they really had a bit of a renaissance under Justin Lutwick. Was he there for just 1 year?
1 year and then moved
1 year, yeah. And he moved on to become the wide receivers coach at Syracuse University, actually.
Yeah.
But that was really because for the longest time, Edinburgh wasn't really a team that you circled on the schedule. It was kind of, hey, we'll be able to play these guys, and they're a part of it. Lutwick did something to get a shot in the arm in the Edinburgh program, and the coaching staff that has been there since his departure has been able to keep that invigorated. And so now you have a team that plays up in Erie. They are now a competitor in the PSAC West, and so that's what gives you matchups like this, and that's why the Rock aren't taking anything for granted today.
Special teams certainly will be a key today simply because of the return men on both sides. The Rock, obviously, with Jermaine Wynn Jr., Mark Carter, Eric Glover-Williams, have done a great job. Obviously, Jake Chaplin, we just talked about. Meanwhile, Jake Monroe, the freshman kicker for Edinburgh, kicked all of their points last week. But they've got Tanaz Gregory and Zerl Hendrick, who are very dynamic. Tanaz Gregory, number two, is 5'8", 165 pounds, but he is a scat back and difficult, and he's got the ball on the kickoff. And we're underway from the 4-yard line. He's up across the 10, 15, out across the 30 before he's dropped at the 31-yard line. And that's where Edinburgh will start out first and 10. Here comes the Rock defense led by Trey Blanford, who will be the subject of our halftime discussion today, along with Brad Zaffram, offensive lineman, Tim Suave, Jeff Marks, Chad Kuhn, the front lineman, Tristan McDonald, Timmy Vernick joined Zaffram in the linebacking core. Eric Glover-Williams, Kyle Hall, Dalton Holt, and Tyree Spearman are the defensive backs for the Rock defensively. And here come Edinburgh, led by Jared Keller, making his first start. And he's a big guy, 6'2", 200-pounder. He'll be in the backfield with Walter Fletcher, and we're set to go here this afternoon for this homecoming affair. And here's the first snap of the game, and a handoff to Fletcher. And he goes inside, darts it outside, shows his speed, breaks a tackle, and he's down the field, down the sideline, across the 50, 40, 30. Kyle Hall comes over, knocks him out of bounds as he is inside the 20, probably down to about the 15-yard line. Maybe even deeper than that. They're actually walking inside the 15. We've got the ball being spotted at the 14. So the opening play, boom, just like that, Walter Fletcher runs for 56 yards.
Yeah, we're setting up a storyline all pregame long, and what's the first thing that happens? A big-time run. That's can't have that.
Here's the snap, now an inside run, and he goes into the pile and is stuffed for no gain.
And it was a simple, really dive play up the middle, and they decided to take it just a quick bounce to the outside. Walter Fletcher is a very good running back, and he was just able to read the field, bounced it to the outside, and there was no one there.
Second down and 10 now after no gain. He'll switch sides, sidecar left now. They've got double receivers near side, the Rock sideline. And here's Keller dropping back once the end zone throws, and it's caught for the touchdown. Pulled in by number 81, A.J. Turner, their tight end. And just like that, three plays into the game, Edinburgh does what they did to the Rock last year. Gives them a good punch in the mouth.
Yeah, just straight down the field, three-play drive, real all set up by the big run by Walter Fletcher. That was the worst thing to start. I mean, you just gave them an opportunity to march right down the field. They start with the ball, and they click on all cylinders and find the end zone.
That's A.J. Turner. A lot of folks may recognize that name because that young man comes out of Grove City, Pennsylvania. Here's the extra point try, and it is good. And just like that, we are just three plays into the game, and Edinburgh has taken a 7-0 lead. We'll be back with the kickoff and more Rock football after this 30-second timeout. Slippery Rock University football on The Rock Station 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on The Rock Station 97.7.
And we're back here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. And Slippery Rock going to get the ball after a three-play drive that went 70 yards. The big play was Walter Fletcher running for 56 yards down the sideline. A.J. Turner with the 14-yard touchdown from Jared Keller. So right away, Wayne Bradford's decision to go with Keller pays off. They have their first touchdown in 2 weeks. Here's Mark Carter now. He catches the ball at about the 10, takes his time just waiting for the blocking to set up, and it pays off in a 19-yard return out to the 30-yard line.
And now you have an opportunity. You scripted these. Normally the first drive of the game is all scripted, and so the offensive coordinator Justin Roper should have an idea of what he wants to do. Obviously, Edinburgh getting a lot of yards with the big play by Walter Fletcher. What does Roper have in his back pocket? Is it going to be a steady diet of Wes Hills? Are we going to see checkdowns, or are we going to see a little bit of everything from the quarterback, Roland Rivers?
And here comes Roland Rivers with Wes Hills in the backfield, and he'll have wideouts split near side, Henry Litwin and Jermaine Wynn, and it's play action right out of the gate, a screen out to Wynn, and he's got running room. He's got a first down and more. He goes into the sideline and is tackled by Maurice Sims, knocked out of bounds across the 45 to the 46-yard line.
Love the play call there. They've been thinking all week long, let's focus on Wes Hills. Could be an open run with him. They draw the defense in. That means you're leaving the sides and the flats open. They were able to get into the hands of the fast wide receiver, Jermaine Wynn, pick up yards, get the first down.
Jermaine Wynn moves the ball out to the 46-yard line. First and 10. Now here's a high snap, and it's a read. And Roland Rivers hit at the line of scrimmage, pulled backwards, looked like he was going to escape for a moment, then is snowed under. And that play just busted up real quick, and it goes for negative yardage. Back across the 45, they'll lose two to the 44-yard line.
A lot of Slippery Rock's offense, a lot of the air raid offense, is based on timing. A little bit of a bad snap that could throw an entire play off, and that's what happened there.
Real quick tempo now, throw to the outside. Henry Litwin catches it. He's right short of the first down marker, knocked out of bounds at the 45, just about an inch or so from the 45. It'll be third down and one now.
Such a strong throw from Roland Rivers. He's near the far hash, and to throw that to the near side sideline with a strike to Henry Litwin on the numbers is quite impressive.
Now here's a handoff. Big Wes Hills goes into the pile, and they got him by the ankle, but he pulls out of that and gets the first down right at the marker. A one-yard gain by number four.
He falls forward. Glenn and I talked about that last weekend. He just has that uncanny knack of falling forward. That whole momentum takes him. So a gain that maybe would only go for a yard goes for three, and that's why you give it to the big back when you're facing third and short yardage.
Now it's first down and 10, Rock, into Edinburgh territory. And it's handoff Hills, and he kicks it to the outside. That line got blown up, and this is going to be a negative play as well, as he's knocked back to the 49-yard line. That'll be a loss of 5 yards.
Yeah, he was trying to stretch the field, and when you're looking at that front four right now, they've beaten the Rock offensive line twice, so they're getting a decent push up front. If the Rock want to have any chance to establish the run, they have to start blowing their defenders off the ball, giving gaps for Wes Hills to run.
Chris Larson, Ryan Podgorski on that left side, but they got beat up on that play. Austin Waite, the center, Colton Robb, and Steve Gaviglia are on the right, and they're going to throw right. Now Roland Rivers pulls it down, and he's going to run, and here comes the containment. He dodges a tackle, though, gets across the 40, is shoved out of bounds. He'll be about 2 yards shy of the first down. Let's see where they end up spotting it. They're going to say he got to the 45-yard line, so it'll be 1 yard to go, third and one, but he picked up 13.
Sean Lutz earlier this week saying that he feels like he has multiple running options in that backfield. Wes Hills, Braden Fuffman, Jakar Berry, and then add Roland Rivers to that mix. When you look at his size, not much different than Wes Hills. 6'2", 218 Wes Hills is. Roland Rivers, 6'3", 220.
Here it is, third and one. High snap, pulled down, handoff. Hills, he's got a hole on that left side that time. They made up for that. The previous play, big time on the left side. Chris Larson blew open a hole. Wes Hills went into it, got the first down.
Rivers is doing the option zone read on that. He has the option to take that himself or give it off to Wes Hills. He does a great job holding that ball in the breadbasket of Wes Hills until that last second. That way he can read the defense for even that extra half second. That can make a world of a difference.
3 yard gain. It's the eighth play of this drive. First and 10, Rock. High snap again. Pulled down. Rivers fakes it. Now gets it out to Zach Zerillo, the tight end. He's got a first down and goes out of bounds at the marker. Picks up 11 by number 18.
Incorporating the tight ends more in this Slippery Rock offense was the idea that Sean Lutz and Justin Roper had. Zach Zerillo getting in on that action now. Just a quick little slip screen. All set up again. If you're able to establish the run on the inside, that may make that linebacking core commit to covering the gaps, and that could leave those flats open.
And we've seen the use of the tight ends a lot more now by the Rock offense with Cirillo and A.J. Alexander. Here's Rivers. He wants the end zone. He pumps one down just out of the hands of number 18 for Slippery Rock, Zach Cirillo. He had Austin Scott on the outside as well, but just couldn't thread the needle there, getting it over top of the defenders, incomplete.
Late flag, though. We may have a hold on this, Bob. Is it... Don't know if we would get a pass interference on it. The officials are discussing. It was one-on-one coverage over top.
And it looked like Cirillo was being slowed up by some stretch anyway. It looked like he was kind of in quicksand there for a moment. So that may have been the reason why the touchdown didn't happen. Nice touch pass by Roland Rivers.
It really was. I mean, the pocket presence he had. And are we going to get a call? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the mic seems to be down on the official, but pass interference is the call against Edinburgh, so that will go for 15 yards.
Yeah,
and going back to the Rivers pass, I mean, you're right. you've seen that level of maturity with him and confidence. He's now confident in throwing the ball. That may not be a pass he makes in game one, but now that he's settled into that starter's role, he feels more comfortable making that throw.
First and 10 to go to the end zone, and it's knocked away. The pass intended for Austin Scott, and that was just a beautiful job by the Edinburgh defender. That's number 21, Zerl Hendrick. We talked about him. He's one of the return men, too.
Yeah, he did a great job of shielding Scott from getting room on that inside. Scott decided to go behind him, but Hendrick was able to turn his body around and get a hand on the ball.
Second and goal from the six for the Rock after that penalty. Wes Hills will be sidecar to the left of Roland Rivers. Double stack receivers on the near side. Here's the snap. Rivers going to do the pitch to Wes Hills. He's got running room. Can he get to the end zone? No. He's tackled out of bounds at the one-yard line. A high tackle, and I think Wes is having a conversation with the official saying, hey, that was a bit uncomfortable right there, but no flag. It'll be third and goal at the one.
Really nice cut block by left tackle Chris Larson as he was able to knock down his defender. That gave Wes Hills room to run. And looking at the replay here, Wes Hills may have gotten that ball across the pylon. His body went out before he got to the end zone, and I think the official saw that. That ball may have reached around the pylon, but they opted to mark him out at the one. I think this is two down territory.
Third and goal. Now in motion goes Wes Hills, and it's Roland Rivers into the end zone. Did he get there? No. Ooh. No. The third, fifth effort. Wow. And still no call. They say he got to the one-inch line. Boy, I thought he was in. Maybe it was just his head, not the football.
I don't know. It looks like he's in the end zone.
No call, and they're standing at the one-inch line.
You're not joking about that.
I mean, it looked like the initial push, he didn't get there.
No.
And then they had five Edinburgh defenders stacked up on him, and he fell forward. Well, I guess he kind of fell to the side.
Yeah.
Here it is, fourth and goal from the one-inch line. Pitch, fake, and a handoff. Wow, what a nice maneuver that was.
Nice play call. They have Wes Hills. He's the primary focus on this. They're going to fake the pitch out to him on the outside. Jakar Berry, who was a part of that three-man backfield, got the inside handoff and rolled right off of a pulling Steve Gaviglia into the end zone. Gutsy play call, but very well designed.
That was a nice fake. Boy, it had Edinburgh biting on everybody else, but number 27, Jakar Berry, in for the six-pointer. And now the Rock will go for the tying extra point from Jake Chepla out of the hold of Mike Merhot. Nice drive by the Rock. 12 plays for 70 yards. The kick is up and it's good. The streak continues. It's tied here at homecoming between the Rock and Edinburgh. We'll have the kickoff when we return to Rock football after this 30-second timeout on the Rock Station 97.7.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
Tim Suave here at Sippy Rock University, D lineman. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station.
What a methodical drive that was. 12 plays, 70 yards, and it took 4 minutes and 34 seconds off the clock. But we're tied at 7 now here at Slippery Rock University and homecoming today for the Rock. And we're off to a good start. Both teams possessing the ball one time. And both scoring here at the 9:21 mark of the opening quarter.
Yeah, again, I said they had an opportunity maybe to script that drive there, and I think that's what they did. It was really nicely played by Roland Rivers, had some nice runs by Wes Hills as well. It was a very balanced attack using some passes in the flats, picked up the big penalty, and it's a really nicely done drive.
So 12 plays, and... eight of those on the ground. Now here's the boot, and it comes down to the return man, and that's somebody new out there. We're going to have to grab a number because that's not Tanaz Gregory. That is actually Kyle Gaelic, one of the running backs, and he comes out with two arms around the ball and stretches out to about the 25-yard line. A nice return of 23 yards.
So you had the Rock. It led up a big play, and we really haven't seen big run plays happen, probably going back to the Kentucky State game. I would say, and it was a very simple run up the middle, and then they bounced it to the outside, and then that allowed Fletcher room to run. You have to limit big plays whenever you're playing in big games like this. This is a big drive here for the Rock defense to see how they respond.
And here comes Jared Keller out with his sidecar of Walter Fletcher. Double receiver split each side. And he's going to go play action, and here's a pass inside to number 18, Andre Dowdle Jr., and he catches it for about 3 yards, pushes it across the 30 to the 33.
And it got a flag coming in from way behind the play. They're going to get pass interference, or they're going to say it's a hold on Slippery Rock.
I see Eric Glover-Williams talking to one of the officials, so maybe they're calling it on him. He doesn't look real happy, I know that. That will be the first flag of the game for the Rock. Edinburgh flagged a big one, pass interference, and it is against Slippery Rock. I didn't see the call, though. I was looking down.
We had a hold is what they decided on, so not pass interference.
And that's the first penalty of the game. The Rock has been marred with penalties, averaging in double digits so far this year. So the ball spotted now at the 39-yard line after the penalty. And it'll be first down and 10. Here's Tellers. Keller's pass, and it is hit by Brad Zaffram, knocked in the air, incomplete. He got a big bit on that, and unfortunately for the Rock, Dalton Holt was in the neighborhood but couldn't get there.
Great job by Brad Zaffram of not biting on that play action. He was able to hold his spot, and that meant that stay in that zone, eliminated the slot pass, and he was able to get a hand on it.
Second and 10 now, double receivers each side. Here's a screen pass to Fletcher on the far side at the 35, and he goes up to the line of scrimmage and is knocked down, crossing the 40 to the 41, maybe the 42-yard line. We'll give him a gain of 3 on that screen pass.
Good tackle by Mark Carter on that. He was able to chase down Fletcher and get to the outside. Nice low tackle as well. Size matchup not in favor of Carter, but he was able to get out there and make a play.
Great speed,
yeah.
Number 30 has, the freshman from Miami. Here we go now, third down and 8 for Edinburgh. And here's the snap to Keller. He drops back, has plenty of time, throws downfield, and it's in and out of the hands of Kyle Hall, who picked off 2 last week and was Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division Player of the Week. And that one a little bit high for him to reach out and pull in, but he was able to knock it away, and that'll bring up fourth down.
Yeah, the Rock going with zone defense, and they were going very much prevent style. The 3 linebackers really moving back to about the 50-yard line to get an idea of where Keller was going. And there were 2 check down options for Keller. He opted to try to split 2 cornerbacks, and a nice job by Kyle Hall to get there and almost come away with an interception.
Rugby style kicker for Edinburgh, and that's Levi Becker, and he boots it down in the neighborhood of Jermaine Wynn, but he's going to step away from it, and it'll roll down inside the 25 to the 21-yard line, and that's where Slippery Rock will start out, first and 10 after the punt. So the drive stopped after 3 plays, and actually 4 plays, I'm sorry. And Edinburgh turns the ball over to the Rock now. We're tied at 7 here at the 8:07 mark of the opening quarter.
Yeah, great drive the last time around for Slippery Rock, using the run, using the pass, using some RPOs as well. You can't get through a football broadcast now without talking about some RPOs, run-pass options. You'll hear that all the time. It's ineffective. It's in almost every offense now in some sort of variation of it, the whole way from high school to the professional level.
Here's Nasir Weaver joining Wes Hills in the backfield, and here's a long pass downfield. Mike Mahat wide open. Inside the 40, goes down across the 25 and stays inbounds and is tackled at the 22-yard line. Roland Rivers hits the big one.
One-on-one coverage on the outside. Merahot just getting beyond his defender. He did a nice little cut route about the 30-yard line, fake that he was going to do straight out, and a little hitch-and-go route. That got him over top, and then just a beautifully thrown ball by Roland Rivers to hit him right over the top in a big-time play by the Rock.
57 yards. Tempo now for the Rock as Nasir Weaver goes in motion, and it's a handoff. Wes Hills, he's got a big hole. He's running toward the end zone, inside the 10-5. He walks in for the touchdown. Big Wes Hills, 22 yards out. Slippery Rock takes the first lead of the day.
Yeah, just shaking off one of the tacklers, and this is vintage Rock offense. Big time play. Let's run it up the gut. Nice job by the offensive line to create where a hole that you could have taken a tractor trailer through. Wes Hills able to shake off that last defender, walk into the end zone. The big play, if you're able to get that big play somewhere in an offensive drive, you're going to be able to find Pater. Rock doing it really on what, 3 plays?
2 plays.
2 plays, excuse me.
57 yards. yards and 22 yards for the pay dirt. Here's the extra point try by Jake Chapla out of the hold of Mike Merhot. And the snap is good, the hold is good, and the kick is up, and it is good. And the Rock has taken a 14-7 lead now here at Slippery Rock University. It's homecoming, and Jake Chapla threading the needle once again. We'll be back with more Rock football to come. Nodded at 7 a minute and a half ago, and now it's 14-7 in favor of the Rock. You're listening to Rock Football, the Rock Station 97.7.
Velvet Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City is more than just an oil change. Hey, Ken Frenchak, your operations manager from the Velvet Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. We offer a full line of services. We change your oil with no appointment necessary. We can also help you with your transmission service, fuel service, cooling system, and power steering, light bulbs, and replacement of those wipers. And no appointment is ever needed. We top off all your fluids, check your tire pressure, and much, much more. So stop in at the Velvet Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City, locally owned and operated. Drive in, drive out, and you'll be on your way. It's that easy.
You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7.
Once again, we're back here at Slippery Rock University as the Rock has taken a 14-7 lead, scoring on both of their possessions. Back deep, Kyle Gaelic and Searle Hendrick for Edinburgh. And here's a nice boot by Jake Chaplet, sends Hendrick to the one-inch line inside the end zone. He spins out away from a tackle and is across the 10, 15, and knocked out of bounds by a host of players, taking down some people on the sideline over on the Fighting Scott sideline. It looks like he went out of bounds at about the 18-yard line, so that's a return of 19, and because he was a yard into his own end zone when he came out. Made a nice move to kick that to the outside and avoid being tackled around the 10-yard line.
Yeah, the return game for Edinburgh, very dangerous. You had mentioned Zaril Hendrick. We had seen Tanaz Gregory on the first kickoff of the game, and he just made one Rock defender miss. I believe it was Cameron I've been trying to not say that name for a long time.
Spadancy.
All right.
Yeah. Trip receivers to the near side for Edinburgh as they start out first and 10 now. And here's a snap. Bed into the shotgun is Keller, and he tries to hit Fletcher on a screen pass out toward the 20, and he throws it at his feet, and it is incomplete. That's probably the first, maybe second bad pass we've seen from Keller. That last one he threw that was almost picked off by Kyle Hall on third down, but that one nowhere near being caught.
Yeah, I mean, they were taking a gamble, making Jared Keller the starter this week. Andrew Tomko's been at that starting position all season long, and we'll see what we'll get from Keller. Really haven't been too many passing plays. His first passing play of the game, nice touch pass into the end zone, but since then he's been a little shaky.
Here's another pass. It's knocked down at the line of scrimmage. Incomplete. That's the second hand the Rock has gotten on a ball at the line of scrimmage, and that looked like it was one of the linemen.
I believe it was Brad Zaffram.
Oh, was it Zaffram again?
Yeah, he switched over to the left side on that, and he just got the number one jersey, and I'm pretty sure that ball may have hit him right in the chest. Keller looking one way and did not see Zaffram popping in, and that means Zaffram's doing a nice job of disguising where he's attacking from and how he's getting into those gaps, and that means Keller doesn't see him, throws the ball, and boom, there's number one.
Third and 10 now. Brad Zaffram will be one of our halftime guests as well. Here's a quick pitch inside to Fletcher as the pressure came, and he's going to be dragged down short of the first down. As it looked to me like Trey Blanford got him by the ankle and tripped him up, and that'll set up. No, they say he got to the first down. Boy,
really?
I thought he was well short of that. But they say move the sticks, 10-yard gain.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't see that.
I'd have to go back and look at the replay on that. I thought he was at least 3 yards short.
Yeah, well, they moved the chains, first and 10 Edinburgh. Boy, Fletcher is just so dangerous. Now here's a screen pass to the near side. Fletcher pulls it in and is hit, and he's going to be dropped as Tim Vernick, or was that Trey McDonald?
No, you're Tim Vernick on that.
Tim Vernick, number 45, had him buried, and that's a loss of 4 yards.
I mean, you want to teach a kid to tackle, show them this video of Tim Vernick. Gets planted right in front, wide stance, launches right into the chest. That way he's not moving anywhere. You pick up, you drive down, all clean football play, all perfect form tackling from Vernick.
Second and 15 now after the tackle for a loss by the Butler native. And now it'll be sidecar left with trip receivers on that same side. High snap. Keller hands it off to Fletcher. He's got running room. He avoids a tackle and is knocked down by Eric Lover-Williams after a pickup of about 7.
another nice tackle by Eric Glover-Williams, because if he doesn't get him, Fletcher has much more room to run. Edinburgh just clearing out a side. They've been able to get a lot of force off this Rock front four. Now, Slippery Rock's done a nice job at times getting in there, so it's gone both ways, but whenever Edinburgh has been able to seal gaps, that gives a lot of room for Fletcher to run, and that's just a guy you can't have running all over the place.
Now here's the third down play as trip receivers are up top. A lot of time for Keller. He throws. He's got Fletcher. He catches it, and he drops it. It's incomplete. That's one he should have pulled in for the first down at midfield, but didn't do so, and it's incomplete, and Fletcher is staying down.
Yeah, he looks like he's in some pain.
I don't know if he got hit up high as he was trying to bring that ball in, but he is holding his head, and his shoulder pad is up top. And he gets an assist from Jermaine Wynn, who comes over and helps him. And very slow to get off the field as Fletcher, and a trainer comes out to assist him, but now he's going to jog off. So it's a punting situation, second straight series. The Rock defense has been tough against Edinburgh.
And actually one of Keller's better thrown balls today. I mean, that was right on the hands of Fletcher. He had to go up in the air to bring it down, but it was a nice throw by the quarterback.
Here's that rugby-style kick, and they're going to kick it away from Jermaine Wynn. You can see Edinburgh wants no part of the Rock return game. And this ball hits at the 40 in Slippery Rock territory, bounces out of bounds at the 35. So decent field position to start for the Rock as they begin their third drive of the day at the 5:27 mark of the opening quarter and leading 14-7.
They've done it on the big play. They've done it through grinding out a drive. That's been the past two series for Slippery Rock's offense. They've found the end zone both times, and it's been a nice balance, especially in the backfield. We saw Nasir Weaver do a little bit more in terms of the run game on the last drive, so Justin Roper incorporating some other weapons offensively.
So here's the Rock, first and 10 with West Hill sidecar to the right for Roland Rivers, and double receiver split to the Rock sideline. And we've got E.J. Alexander, the tight end, in now. And here's play action. No, he holds it. Now he's going to run, and he's got running room. Roland Rivers, first down carry across midfield into Edinburgh territory. Still on his feet, the big guy. You can't bring him down.
And again, talked about his ability to keep that ball in the pocket, really, of running backs until that last moment. Now, he was working one-on-one. One of the Edinburgh's linebackers got into the backfield. Ethan Upperco was right there to bring down Roland Rivers, but a little bit of a juke move, and then there was a lot of room to run on the left side. He exploded through the gap and then used his size and his velocity to get down the field for a big game.
27-yard carry for the quarterback. Number 14, Roland Rivers, now first and 10 into Edinburgh territory is the Rock, and here comes Wes Hills. He's going to kick it to the outside. He's got another big hole. Puts his head down across the 30, knocks over an Edinburgh defender, literally plowed over inside linebacker Connor Kelly and drove him to the turf as he carried the ball for four more. Now we have a late flag coming in, but Wes Hills gets it inside the 25 pending the review here.
I don't know what the flag would be for. It was at the end of the play. Unless they're going to get Gaviglia for a hold, but that would have happened closer to the line of scrimmage. Where this flag is at is where Wes Hills was brought down.
Austin Waite, the center, is pointing Edinburgh, and it's a face mask, so they must have got Wes
against
late.
Edinburgh, yeah.
They must have got the hand into the face of Wes Hills, so that's going to stack even more on after the big carry by big number four, Wes Hills from Wildwood, New Jersey.
Setting up that right side seal was Steve Gaviglia. That gave all the room that Wes Hills needed to run. And whenever he's working one-on-one against guys in the secondary, he's just a bigger physical man than a lot of cornerbacks in this league.
Here's a screen pass to the outside. A.J. Alexander, and it's going to be broken up right away. So we had a 13-yard carry to Wes Hills. Now they go to the screen pass and the tight end, number 88, but that's going to be negative yardage. Going to drop him back to the 15-yard line, and that'll be a loss of two.
Well-read play by the Edinburgh defense. The Rock have used that slip screen of sorts, just sending either a tight end or a running back into the flats. That time, the Fighting Scots defender was right there.
Here's the first down play, or a second down play, and a pass to the outside. A lot of hand shoving going on. Do I see a flag? No. The ball is incomplete. The intended receiver was Austin Scott. But there was a lot of hand battling going on there, but Edinburgh's able to knock the ball away, and it's incomplete.
Trying for a back shoulder fade pattern, Austin Scott had one-on-one coverage on the top of the field, so Roland Rivers tries to throw it to his outside. Give credit to the cornerback. He was able to turn the body around, get a hand on the ball. Like you said, some hand fighting. I don't think it was anything egregious enough. A little bit of a nice football play by both sides.
I like to see the officials let the game roll and not be ticky-tack, and so far we're not seeing that. That's good. Here's a third down and 12 play, and a little trickery as Jermaine Wynn takes the pitch, avoids a tackle, but a whole host of Edinburgh defenders now swarm in, and that's going to go for negative yardage as well. This is going to set up a field goal try, I'm sure, as this now knocks the Rock back to the 17-18 yard line on fourth down.
I'm just not a big fan of giving up negative yards on a trick play whenever you're looking at a third down and long in field goal in a field goal situation. So now what are you looking at, about a 35-yarder? So it's not an outrageous distance for a very reliable field goal kicker. But when you got the way Roland Rivers is playing right now, third down in a chunk, I'm just better. I personally like a pass play there. Reverse just a little too cute.
Here's Jake Chapla out of the hold of Mike Merhot. It is a 35-yard attempt. Good snap. Here's the boot into, some wind to his back, and it's right down the middle. Jake Chapla boots it through to put three more points onto the board for the Rock. He's now 9 of 16 on the season, and the Rock has taken a 17-7 lead with 3 minutes and 10 seconds remaining. That was a 6-play drive, 47 yards, and the Jake Chaplup 36-yard field goal is good. We'll take a 30-second timeout, come back with the kickoff in a moment. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
The Butler Agway, Route 68, just west of Butler, reminds you it's time to seed and feed. If you want a beautiful lawn in the spring, you got to do the work now. Pick up bags of fertilizer, lime, and don't forget the grass seed. Browse the pumpkins, gourds, and mums with huge varieties ready to decorate. USA Pet Foods, always. And order your wild bird feed by October 15th for pickup October 31st. Sauerkraut crocks in every size, baskets, greeting cards, everything outdoors. Count on Butler Agway for seed, feed, and everything you'll need.
This is Wes Hills, running back for Slippery Rock University, and this is Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
The Rock has taken a 17-7 lead now here at homecoming at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. Kyle Gaelic and Zerl Hendrick will be back to receive the Jake Chapla boot. So the Rock has touched the nugget three times today and have scored. Scoring a Chakar Berry 1-yard touchdown run. Wes Hills 22 yards on the ground. And then the Jake Chapla field goal of 36 yards. Here comes the boot from Jake Chapla at the 3:10 mark of the opening quarter. Great crowd on hand here today for homecoming at Slippery Rock University. Line drive boot is scooped up by Gaelic at his 6. And he's across the 15, gets out of a tackle at the 20, 25, 30. Is clear out to midfield, wrapped up, and finally brought down shy of the 50-yard line. Let's see where they spot it. Looks like the 48-yard line is where he returns it to. And that's an impressive return of 38 yards.
Got a flag down way back on the play around the 40-yard line. But this is an Edinburgh team that is desperate for a big play, and a return like that at least gives you some bit of life. Actually, looks like it's going to be offsides on Slippery Rock.
So I'm sure Edinburgh will decline this and take the nugget, because they're going to have good field position at the 2:59 mark of the opening quarter here, with a lot of action on field already. But they're going to have the ball right at midfield. So here comes the Rock defense. The Edinburgh offense coming onto the field, being led by Jared Keller, who's making his first start for the Fighting Scots, taking over for Andrew Tomko, who was largely ineffective last week. And Keller came in relief. And there's the call. For 3 weeks now, we've had very difficult times catching the official's mic up here. We apologize for that, but it was offsides by the Rock, so it moves to the ball into Rock territory to the 44-yard line, first and 10 Edinburgh. Here's Walter Fletcher, goes into the pile and is stacked up for no gain. Good work by the Rock immediately in the interior as the charge led by Zach Bader. Brad Zaffram, that is, was in there as well.
Zach Bader was the one that got in there on the initial hit, hitting Fletcher in the backfield, taking him out at the legs. Fletcher, of course, was the one that was injured on that last drive, but it looks like he's back out on the field.
Now here's a pass play downfield, too high for the intended receiver, A.J. Turner, and it's incomplete.
they had the look they wanted. A.J. Turner running really just a pattern to the outside, 10 yards and out, and they had one-on-one coverage over top with Dalton Holt, but that ball just thrown a little bit too far for Turner to reel it in. And those are the types of plays that separate teams from winning PSAC West titles and teams that don't. You have to be able to connect on those plays because those are opportunities that if you miss them, you're not going to get another chance to hit a 15-yarder.
Quickly third down. Here's Keller dropping back. Hits Fletcher across the middle. He's got the first down across the 35. Tackled at the 33-yard line. It'll be a gain of 13.
Rock defense going with a zone look again on third down and long. So a check down is what Keller opts for. And whenever you get the ball to Fletcher in space, he's going to make you pay. And he was able to pick up the first down. See if those check down options aren't something that Edinburgh wants to incorporate a little bit more into their offense.
First down play, handoff inside Fletcher, and he goes into the pile and escapes. He's got running room for a touchdown, one man to beat, and he's going to do it. 34 yards away, and it's Walter Fletcher in for the Edinburgh score.
Well, they needed a big play, and they got it. That's the second one of the day by Walter Fletcher. You had him wrapped up in the backfield. You had about two Rock defenders, one of them being Tristan McDonald, having him by the legs, just couldn't hold on long enough for other green jerseys to get there. But if you're making that initial contact behind the line of scrimmage, you have to be able to bring him down, and there should have been other green jerseys there. Give credit to Edinburgh's offensive line for at least giving Fletcher enough time to break through one tackle. But like I said, you got a linebacker on a running back in the backfield. That should ball shouldn't go for any type of gain, let alone a touchdown.
And here's the extra point try, and it is good by the place kicker for Edinburgh, Jake Monroe. And very quickly, four play drive for 46 yards, taking a minute off the clock, and Edinburgh back in the game now, closing in to a 17-14 lead. And big plays by Walter Fletcher. He's been the man of the hour so far today for the Fighting Scots. Now, Walter Fletcher, four receptions now for 20 yards and has carried the ball just five times, but almost 100 yards. He's averaging 19.4, of course, the 56-yard run, aiding that cause. But he's got both Edinburgh scores now.
It's got to be a better job of tackling. That's really where this Slippery Rock defense is at. They have opportunities to bring Fletcher down. They're just not bringing him down. And I think that's exactly what the lecture on the sideline is going to be between the head coach, Sean Lutz, and the Slippery Rock defense, that, hey, we got to do better. We got to be better. And that all starts with tackling. It's not a question of effort. It's just a question of being able to bring the guy down. And that's just what they haven't been able to do today to Fletcher.
My apology to A.J. Turner because he had the other touchdown receiving on the opening drive. It was Walter Fletcher's first touchdown of the game. Here comes the boot with Eric Glover. No, Mark Carter and Jermaine Wynn back, and it's Carter at his 11. And he sets up, waits for the blocking to set up, and is across the 20, 25, kicks it to the outside, and is brought down across the 30 at the 32-yard line. Nice return there. 22 yards.
Rock offense has been moving the ball at will against Edinburgh with a 17-14 lead for Slippery Rock. Now they have to do the same. It looks like we could be in for a shootout today, Bob, and we thought that could be the case. Obviously, the Rock's run defense has been a lot better of late, but they've struggled to bring down Walter Fletcher today, which means we could be in a back and forth. This could be one of those games where you rely on the offense to outscore the opponent.
Yeah, well, the Rock going to possess the ball for the fourth time today, and they've scored all three drives. Edinburgh has punted twice, so that's really the difference in the game right now. At the 1:51 mark of the opening quarter, and we're going to go with the double back offense now. Here's Roland Rivers. He's going to keep it and is dropped after no gain. He thought about pitching it for a moment, thought he had the hole. If he turns it up in, he gets positive yardage, but he tried to stretch it, and Edinburgh's defense caught up with him for no gain.
Yeah, give credit to Mari Sims. He was in the slot position for Edinburgh's defense, and he was staying on Wes Hills because, you're right, it looked like Roland Rivers was ready to pitch, but Sims was right there to eliminate that option.
Here's Jakar Berry going in motion. He takes the screen, turns it upfield. Here comes the Edinburgh pursuit. He gets positive yardage as he caught that behind the line of scrimmage and then goes forward for a yard, maybe two. Let's see where they spot it. Yeah, they're going to say he kicked it out to the 33-yard line, so that will be a short, or 34-yard line, I'm sorry, so a gain of two.
Play that just didn't look all that whenever you're going out in the flats for negative yards to begin, it has to be a quick timing because you're only going to be able to hold that block one-on-one on the outside for only a matter of seconds before the rest of that defense is going to swarm to it. So throwing it behind Jermaine Wynn just threw all the timing off and allowed Edinburgh to get there.
Here's Wes Hills dropping back, has a lot of time, and Henry Litwin comes back to the ball. He's got a first down, stiff arms the defender, number 17, DeAndre Dowdell, and he gains another yard.
Great job by Jakar Berry in on the third down, and he makes a key block. Edinburgh sending five, including a late blitz by the interior linebacker, and Jakar Berry was able to hold off any type of pressure in the face of Roland Rivers, and they connected.
18-yard pass play. Now quickly tempo the rock, and here's Roland Rivers going after Henry Litwin again, and it's in and out of his hands. Boy, he threw a missile that Henry just could not wrap his fingers around.
Yeah, quick slant route, and it was coming in hot. We've seen the arm power of Roland Rivers. He's been able to throw better touch patterns, but on that slant route, you sometimes get a little too aggressive on it and wanting to really zip it in there, and he put a lot of mustard on it.
Carnell Harley will replace Litwin for a break. Now here's a handcuff to Jakar Berry, and oh, he's snowed under. No, he breaks forward, gets out of a tackle, and gets a yard out of what should have been no gain.
Yeah, Jakar Berry doing a nice job to get back to the line of scrimmage. Again, running into a lot of white jerseys in the backfield. Give credit to the Edinburgh defense. They have been able to get past this Slippery Rock offense. Like I said, it's gone both ways. It's been a good battle inside the trenches. It's been a good battle all around, Bob.
And that's the end of the first quarter. The clock winds to zero, so we are through quarter number one of our homecoming game here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium, and the Rock is leading 17-14, and they have moved into Edinburgh territory, and that's where we will begin the second quarter when we come back after this on The Rock Station 97.7.
Attorney General number PA4619.
What you doing, mister?
Oh, hi there, little fella. My name's Michael from Schneider's One Hour.
I'm Finn.
I'm cleaning your furnace. Your dad called us over to do a rejuvenation.
Rejuvenation?
It's where we deep clean your system.
Why?
Most breakdowns are caused by dust and dirt buildup.
What's that helmet you're wearing?
Oh, this? It's a miner's helmet.
It's got a light on it.
I need to be able to see every inch of your furnace.
I've never seen a repairman wear one of those.
Well, I take my job very seriously, young man.
How's the rejuvenation coming along, Mike?
Gonna need more time to get it done right, Mr. Schneider.
Hey, you're the guy from the commercials.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's your helmet?
I must have left it in the van.
283-8525.
Schneider's One Hour. On time, day or night.
283-8525.
And we're back here to start the second quarter. Slippery Rock University football on the air on 97.7, and pass play out of the gate here in the second quarter, and Roland Rivers moves the chains for the Rock as he hits, was that Henry Litwin?
Henry Litwin just doing a little inside route, and it was a nice setup screen play, and they were able to get some nice yards off of it.
Now here's a run play for Roland Rivers. He's going to keep the ball and kick it out to the outside after the first down grab by Litwin. That's the second first down grab that he's had on this drive. And now Roland Rivers picks up a good seven. Looks like maybe, let's see where they spot it. Yep, we'll give him a 7-yard carry on the keeper.
He's such an effective runner, does a really nice job with field vision, and obviously with his frame, he's able to get some yards that other quarterbacks wouldn't.
Now here's a handoff, actually an incomplete pass, I think. Austin Scott, the intended receiver there. Just not been able to thread the needle to Austin Scott in recent games.
No, and there's nice coverage by Edinburgh's defense, one-on-one coverage on the outside, and Roland Rivers decided to give it a shot. And that's a good opportunity. Hey, you're looking at a second down and short. Let's take a shot, one-on-one coverage on the outside, and now you're left with third down and short. Could be two-down territory. I like the play call. I like the chance. They weren't able to connect.
Here's the snap on third down. And it's going to be Wes Hills. He powers his way for the first down. Just puts the head down and acts like a bulldozer inside the 15, down to the 13. Man, is he fun to watch.
Yeah, that's just an aggressive run. Look at, he shrinks the body, identifies the defender, and bowls him over. It was Levi Becker who was on the ground whenever he looked up and saw the number 4 jersey, and he stayed on the ground because Wes Hills showing the power that he has as a running back.
Yeah, and number 4 with Northern Pacific on his jersey. He looked like a train out there. Here's a handoff now to Jakar Berry, and he's going to push it down to the 20-yard line and pick up a couple.
Got a flag in there, probably in the area of holding.
Just so far today, two penalties on the Rock, and only for 15 yards, but this one's going to go against them, then move them back. At the 13:48 mark of the second quarter, the Rock leading 17-14 here on homecoming at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. It is a hold against the Rock. And they'll repeat first down, move them back. Nice contingent down from Edinburgh as well, as we've got a pretty solid crowd here today for homecoming at Slippery Rock University. Not many chairs available on the home side, that's for sure.
They tried the play they went with at the goal line, the fake toss to Wes Hills, inside handoff to Jakar Berry. Edinburgh just much more disciplined on that play.
Here's the snap to Roland Rivers. He hits Zach Cirillo right across the middle, and it goes in and out of his hands. Incomplete. That's one Zach should have had, and it goes incomplete.
Yeah, really like the play call there. Just a little tight end dump pass, and weren't able to connect. Normally, quarterbacks rely on their tight end to be that security blanket that when they're in a pinch, let's get it to the big guy, and maybe he can bowl through and give me 5-6 yards. And that's exactly what that play was, to make this a much more manageable second down. But now you're still looking at second and long.
Double receivers each side for Roland Rivers on second and 20, and he's going to go for the end zone. Has a man breaking, and he throws it, and it's caught.
Wow.
And wow, did Jermaine Wynn do a great job getting under that ball, showing his speed, and catches it for a 32-yard touchdown.
Yeah, there was just an extra burst of speed, a perfectly thrown ball by Roland Rivers, as he was able to throw it exactly where his wide receiver could get it. And that was Jermaine Wynn, who, again, it really looked like it was one-on-two coverage on the outside. And Wynn was just able to turn on the afterburners and get past the defenders after a beautifully thrown ball by Roland Rivers. It really doesn't get much better than that.
First touchdown pass of the day for Roland Rivers, 32 yards to Jermaine Wynn, capping an 11-play, 68-yard drive. And here's the extra point try for Jake Chaplin. And it's up, and it is good. And the Rock retakes a lead comfortably now by 10, 24-14 at the 13:27 mark. Got to give a shout-out if you're ever up here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. The voice you hear over the loudspeaker, our neighbor in the booth, George McDowell, was inducted into the Slippery Rock University Media Hall of Fame. Congratulations to George, last night's ceremonies, and has a great voice that you hear here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium.
And melodious tones on the public address system.
So 24-14 is the score now here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. So the Rock, every time they, as I said before, touch the nugget, they've hit pay dirt so far today, and that's sounding like what you're going to have to do all day, because Edinburgh has responded twice now, and but the Rock building a 10-point lead here.
And these are games where the way it's going, if Slippery Rock is able to stop Edinburgh, let's say on three drives, I mean, that could be enough to make this a 20-point game at the rate the Rock's offense is attacking. So it's not necessarily stopping them every single drive. I'm sure that's what the coaching staff and Rock fans and the Rock defense and themselves would want. But when you're identifying how well your offense is doing, hey, if we just stop these guys one or two times, that could be enough for us to cruise to a victory.
Once again, we have Hendrick and Gaelic back. Gaelic is going to take the kick from Jake Chaplin at the 5-yard line, up across the 10, 15, 20, beats a tackle and goes through the pile, 25, 30, 35, 40, tackled out of bounds into Rock territory at about the 49-yard line. A great return for Edinburgh once again by number 35, the running back, Kyle Gaelic.
It was always one of my favorite lines from George Mahalik. He would always talk about special teams. We got to be good on special teams. That can really dictate the flow of the game. And that's exactly what Edinburgh's special teams have done. That's now two consecutive drives for the Scots where they'll be starting in Slippery Rock territory. So they've been able to do a nice job, Hendrick especially. Or no, that was Gaelic on the return there, excuse me. And he does a nice job of identifying the gaps, good blocking schemes by the Edinburgh special teams. And when you're leaving the offense with less than 50 yards to go, everyone on that sideline wearing white jerseys is a little happier.
That was a 47-yard kickoff return. And now quickly, here's Walter Fletcher, and he goes into the pile. Is stopped, then breaks free and goes across the 45 down to the 43, a gain of 6.
Yeah, Dalton Holt in on the tackle, but Fletcher can dance, man. He works his way into the interior. It may not be all power by the running back, but those juke moves on the inside make the first guy miss, pick up an extra 5 yards. He just has great field vision and then also good moves.
Now here's a pass play to the outside, and Keller hits his man, and it's caught, or is it?
I think they're going to say it hit the ground.
Yeah, it must have touched the green of the ground. The intended receiver was Blake Reddick, and he just couldn't hold on to it, and that's incomplete. So Keller now 5 of 12 today for just 34 yards through the air.
Brad Zaffrom doing a nice job again getting his hands and body into the face of Jared Keller. And Keller goes through pretty much one, two progressions, and that's when he's going to fire the ball. And Zaffron's done a nice job of just making sure he's in the face.
Third and four now. Here comes pressure. Keller pulls it down, and he's going to be sacked. As from behind, number 46 for the Rock, Chad Kuhn came from the far side and tracked down Keller, and he looked like he was going to get rid of it and then pulled it down, and that allowed Kuhn to close in for the sack.
Complete effort play by Chad Kuhn. He beat his guy initially right off the ball, but it took him up the field. Kuhn continues to keep the motor going, works his way back to the quarterback, chases him down from behind. That's one that's going to look good on tape because the coach is going to say, hey, man, that's why you don't give up on a football play.
Absolutely, and it forces an Edinburgh punting situation now. And here comes the kick. And back deep is Eric Glover-Williams this time, and he's going to allow the ball to bounce. And here comes a flag in before he even picks up the ball. And he comes across the 20. Now we've got another flag. We've got an Edinburgh scuffle going on over here on the sideline. I don't know what was happening there, but Branson Smith deep in the Rock sideline.
Yeah, let's take a look here on the replay. It may have been the gunner on the outside. Could have been pushed into Slippery Rock territory. Territory, literally on the sideline, and he was on the track of the Rock sideline. There were some words being tossed about, and there was an official involved in it, not to mention the flag that we had initially right off the reception of the punt, and which I'm going to guess that's going to be an illegal block in the back. Don't know what this personal foul penalty is going to be here on the sidelines, though.
Well, let's see what the call is. Personal foul against Edinburgh. No, Slippery Rock.
They're going to say personal fouls that were offsetting.
Okay.
But I don't know if that answers
the initial flag.
Yeah, that's... I can understand flags offsetting for the scrum here on the sideline.
Unless the initial flag was for that.
For a personal foul, yeah.
The block maybe knocking him out of bounds. And then that caused the scuffle on the sideline. So the ball is sitting right now at the 22-yard line. That's where Eric Glover-Williams returned it. He missed the initial hit of he went the wrong way when he went to grab the ball on the kick. And ended up having to retrieve it while all the shenanigans were going on the sideline. So we've got a big discussion going on by the officials right now, and I'm not sure exactly what that is.
But I don't know if they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, the line judge is talking to the back judge right now and trying to straighten some things out. I imagine we're going to start the ball here somewhere in the range of the 22-yard line, but we have an official walking backward. I'm not sure what's going on here.
We'll see. I know the audio isn't great, but I think we could hear enough of what this official is going to say if he does indeed say something.
So they're going to move the ball way back against the Rocks. So this must be the secondary foul.
That's what I'm
thinking. The initial foul,
yeah.
I guess, which you believe is a block in the back.
That's probably what I would have went with. At least it looked like there was a Rock jersey, a white jersey on the ground, and the Rock guy was behind him.
So the discussion still underway between now, the officials. Referee today is Stephen Daubus.
Now they're going to move it back up.
So we are still going to start just shy of the 20 at the 18, I do believe, unless they move the ball again. And we'll wait and see on that.
I can't pick up much of it.
So there was a block in the back against Slippery Rock, but I believe in the end here, then there was a personal foul against Edinburgh.
Okay.
That they called, and it was a dead ball foul. So that was obviously the shenanigans that was happening on the sideline here. So that's why we're putting the ball down at the 18-yard line, and Rock will start out first and 10. This, I believe, will be the worst starting position of the day for Slippery Rock.
But their offense has shown no signs of problems, you know, getting the ball down the field. They have been able to find at least points on every single drive. whether that's been through the air or whether that's on the ground.
The two-back look in the backfield once again for the Rock. And here's a handoff inside, and I believe it's Jakar Berry as Wes Hills drifted to the outside after the handoff. And that one's going to go nowhere. In fact, they might have lost a yard in that carry. Got an Edinburgh defender still down. I think he's just the bottom of the pile. Jakar Berry goes for negative yardage of 1 yard.
It may not be fun to do, but you have to be able to continue to try to make that run play work, because that's just going to open up every other facet of your offense.
Now Roland Rivers dropping back. He's looking. Has a lot of time. A lot more time. Nobody coming after him. Now he's going to have to roll out. Can't find anybody open downfield. Finally, Henry Litwin comes back for it across the middle of the field, pulls it in, and is dropped to the ground. Now they say it's a fumble, and Wes Hills picks it up. Sure looked like Henry Litwin was down on that play, but Wes Hills very alert, out to helping Henry Litwin downfield with some blocking, and he was there to scoop the ball up, and the ball out across the 40 to the 43-yard line.
Edinburgh only opting to send three on the rush. It was a late delayed blitz by one of the Scots linebackers, but Roland Rivers just buying his time, waiting for wide receivers to come back to the ball. Litwin does that, makes a beautiful catch going up in the air to bring that down. Nice hands.
And here's a quick tempo action. Roland Rivers going to throw to the outside. Jermaine Wynn catches it. Steps out of bounds after a 12-yard grab. So 24 yards downfield. And what presence Henry Litwin had on that play, because Roland Rivers could find nobody for about 5 minutes in the backfield. And finally, Henry just comes back to him wide open across the middle.
You've got to have that internal clock as a wide receiver. Okay, I'm through my pattern. Where am I at? How long has this been? When should I start coming back for the ball? Where's the open area in the field? All that's being processed on one play. Litwin checking all the boxes.
Here's Roland Rivers now. He's going to screen pass. No, he's going to pull it back down, go up the gut, and run for a couple of yards. Does a little Superman move after the play and picked up two from all of that.
Yeah, Roland Rivers, just an elusive. Again, talk about the athlete Rivers is. Because he can run the ball, he can throw the ball, he gives you a ton of different looks. He's tough for defenses to prepare for, because when you're pulling a spin move as a quarterback like that, you know that he's just one heck of an athlete. And he is able to, he's just fun to watch.
And his front pocket has fallen off, so he tries to throw that to the sideline. And after the two-yard grab, it's second down. Now here's a pump fake, and it still gets knocked down. Looked like it was going to get knocked down initially if he threw it, and went for the second round, and another guy jumped up and got it. Incomplete third down.
Yeah, the nickel corner, Mari Sims blitzing on the play. Rivers looks up. They were just running a simple slant pattern on the inside timing route. So Rivers looks up, sees Sims in his face, pump fakes. Sims, though, able to continue to stay in the face of Roland Rivers and get a hand on the ball. Just a nice play by the defense.
Third down and eight now for the Rock. Roland Rivers drops back, has time, looks downfield. He dumps it off. It's Henry Litwin, comes back for the first down, and is wrapped up and dragged down at the 29-yard line.
Litwin does a nice job bringing the ball in, actively seeking the ball when he goes to catch it, and then once he's able to catch the ball, brings it into his body to secure it. That's a reliable wide receiver the quarterbacks love to have, because that way you know when Litwin's open, he's going to catch the ball and he's not going to lose it. He's a very reliable wide receiver.
And the rapport these two have right now, Roland Rivers and Henry Litwin. 5 catches, 79 yards on the day for Henry Litwin. And now downfield is Jermaine Wynn wide open, and he's in for the touchdown. Slippery Rock University, second time today for Jermaine Wynn from 29 yards out. And wow, what time that offensive line is giving the Rock quarterback, Roland Rivers, and he just peppers one downfield to the three, and Jermaine Wynn just kind of piles his way into the end zone for the TD.
I mean, you're looking at probably 3-4 seconds of time Roland Rivers had there, and he's got poise in the pocket now. He is just able to sit there and wait for these wide receivers to finish their routes and then hook up with them in perfect places. I mean, the Jermaine win twice now. Roland Rivers has been able to put that ball in stride to him. That way he doesn't have to maneuver at all to come back and catch the ball. He's able to hit it and hit the end zone. Roland Rivers is just looking good right now, as is this wide receiving corps.
29-yard touchdown pass. Roland Rivers, the Jermaine Wynn, and the Rock has taken a 31-14 lead at the 8:55 mark of the second quarter. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on The Rock Station 97.7. We're back after this 30-second timeout.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System only at Negley's.
Rock football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station 97.7.
31-14 lead here at homecoming. Slippery Rock University leading over the Fighting Scots of Edinburgh. Roland Rivers, 13 of 19, 237 yards and two touchdowns now, and both those touchdowns picked up by Jermaine Wynn, who now has four receptions for 88 yards. And we were talking all about Henry Litwin. I think Henry Litwin is just opening it up for Jermaine Wynn right now.
And that's all based off of what Roland Rivers has been able to do. And we're going to get another flag. Maybe the Rock are offsides again on this kickoff.
But here comes the kickoff, and it's Gaelic. And he's got another big run coming across the 30 to the 35. Boy, Kyle Gaelic is a powerhouse in the return game for Edinburgh.
So this is an offsides penalty. You can't have these.
Yeah, you just can't, because now you're going to give them midfield again.
And that's twice. I can understand one time some guy getting eager before, you know, Jake Chaplin goes up there to kick the ball. But having that happen twice on a kickoff, those are mistakes that are so easily controllable. You're just donating yards to the other team.
And you can see the steam coming out of the ears of Mark Hall right now, the special teams coordinator. He's the linebackers coach as well. And doesn't seem real happy with his team. We didn't get the call on the flag yet.
Maybe it actually just fell out of his pocket.
Well, maybe that steam was just the breath coming out of his mouth because it's so cold here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium.
Yeah, here comes the white hat.
It was an illegal formation, did they say? On the kickoff for the Rock.
Huh.
So that'll move the ball out to the 41-yard line.
Well, at least it wasn't offsides.
Yeah. That's a little more bearable. First and 10 for the Fighting Scots. Keller in the shotgun. Sidecar is Fletcher. 31-14, the Rock leads it. Fletcher takes the handoff, and he gets into the pile and is stormed over after no gain. Good pursuit that time by the Rock, led by Trey Blanford.
Yeah, they were just able to close all the gaps off. Three linebackers waiting to see how that play developed. They all shot their gaps, which means there was no room for Fletcher to run. As you mentioned, Trey Blanford getting the initial push for the Rock, but you also had a lot of that linebacking core in there.
Second and 10, drop back to pass. Keller throws it, and he is leveled, and the ball is picked off. Dalton Holt is on the run down the sideline, still on his feet. Now he tucks it back inside and is down to the 25-yard line. Number 22, Dalton Holt. And, you know, Sean Lutz talked to us this week in the coaches' meeting and as we prepare for the game, and said one guy that really stood out, you had one guy recognized by the state, and that being Kyle Hall, but he said Dalton Holt really is starting to play some high-level football.
Yeah, it's a safety that knows what he's doing, and that's what Dalton Holt does. He tackles well. He knows where to be. He may not be the most athletic guy on the field, but he's going to be a guy who's involved in the play because he anticipates and knows what's going on. But also to start that play, Tim Suave, big-time rush up the gut and hammered Jared Keller on the release. That play starts with him. He's going to get a lot of credit on tape.
Here's Braden Fuffman going in motion, and guess what? It's touchdown number 3 for Jermaine Wynn. A little looked like a little play fake, and it was almost setting up like it was going to be a screen pass, and then there's Jermaine Wynn bolting downfield for the 26-yard touchdown, and the Edinburgh Fighting Scots just cannot stop this Slippery Rock offense right now.
Love the call by Justin Roper. You get the big turnover, and you have the one-on-one matchup with Jermaine Wynn, who has been able to get behind Edinburgh defenders all day. He's working one-on-one coverage on that play with Billy DePaul, the free safety. He gets right behind him. Rivers just floating it into the breadbasket of Jermaine Wynn. Beautiful call, well executed.
And here's the extra point try for Jake Chaplin, now out of the hold of Mike Merhot. And it is up and good. And Slippery Rock has posted 38 points in the opening half.
There's 8 minutes to go.
We've got 8 minutes to go in that half yet. And it's 38-14 in favor of the Rock. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on The Rock Station 97.7. We're back after this 30-second timeout.
Butler Steel Supply. What do? Everything. When it comes to steel, they'll bend it, punch it, shape it. They'll custom make whatever you desire. Whether you're commercial or residential, talk to them. If you need it, they'll do it. Not exactly sure? Talk to them. They'll design it. Butler Steel Supply, 145 Valvoline Road in East Butler, or go to butlersteelsupply.com.
Hey, this is Sean Lutz. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on the Rock Station 977.
38-14. The Rock having some fun in front of the home crowd today and knocking down the Fighting Scots here with a display of power on the ground and an air raid offense that is just clicking in high gear.
When you have a quarterback that's throwing like Roland Rivers is right now, the offensive coordinator just sits there and smiles because he knows a lot of the plays that he's going to call are going to work. And they've been able to utilize the wide receiver speed, the great hands that they have. And also, this is all, I guess I should say, this is predicated on the run game. And I know that kind of sounds a little bit silly, but if you're able to establish the run or even the idea of running the ball, and that's almost what Wes Hills is to me. Like, if you're an opposing coach and you look in that backfield and you see Roland Rivers and Wes Hills, you're like, man, I don't know how we're going to handle these guys. And then they're just going to go over top of you. These are the weapons that, as an offensive coordinator, like I said, you just get greedy and you love to have all of them.
Here's a line drive kick, and they are kicking away from Kyle Gaelic now. It goes in the direction of Zerl Hendrick, but he has no prayer to get it. It goes through the end zone and a touchback, so no return on that. Well, right now, you say the rushing game. The leading rusher today is actually Roland Rivers, the quarterback. 7 carries for 47 yards, while Wes Hills is complimenting him with 6 carries and 43 yards. So between the two of them, they have 13 carries for 90 yards on the ground here in the first half.
And that's what I mean. So if you're able to set up the run, that's going to allow the pass game to really flourish. And Roland Rivers, and give credit to this offensive line too. We're just giving credit to everybody, because when you score 38 points with 8 minutes to go in the second in the second quarter, you're generally doing a lot of things right. And so the offensive line is giving Rivers time, and they're just executing on all fronts.
Here's a pass downfield, wide open beyond the defender is Edinburgh's Tanaz Gregory, and this is going to be a one-play touchdown on the bomb by Jared Keller. And boy, Tanaz Gregory got behind the defense, and Keller put it on a dime, hit him at about the 41-yard line, and he runs it in from there.
Yeah, they had one-on-one coverage on the outside, Tyree Spielman versus Tanaz Gregory. Gregory just beating him. And Jared Keller, hey, give him credit. He's made some mistakes at times today, but bouncing back after an interception on that last drive, throwing it right to Gregory. And I'm sure when they were going through the decision-making process earlier this week as to who would get the start, it's plays like that that made the coaching staff think maybe Keller can get the job done.
And here's the extra point try, and it's good. So Edinburgh, trying to stay relevant in this game, have now quickly made it 38-21 in one play, as Tanaz Gregory catches a 75-yard touchdown pass from Jared Keller. And a beautiful play, and we've got a, they said, an Edinburgh player down on the ground after the extra point try. So the score now 38-21 at the 7:48 mark of the game. Now the Rock having touched the ball here now 6 times, and they've scored on every drive, and they're going to be getting the ball back now with a 17-point lead.
You're starting to feel pretty good. You can see the energy on the sideline, and it's one play like that that puts everything, it kind of knocks you back down a level, and you realize there's still a lot of football game left, and this Edinburgh offense can score. It's big plays that can really swing games. Now, the Rock offense has been able, like we said earlier, to click on all cylinders, so you feel like they're going to be able to score as many points as really they want to. It's just going to be a matter of eliminating the mistakes. They haven't been there so far on offense, but you want to, I should say, prevent any future mistakes offensively and then clean things up defensively.
Well, if you bet the over today of 60.
You're feeling pretty good.
So the Rock going to get it back. But, boy, that's just got to drive a coach nuts, though.
Yep.
You build this comfortable moment, bit of momentum, and you turn around and give them a little breath of life. So back deep for the Rock is Jermaine Wynn, and he's standing sidecar to Mark Carter, and it is going to be Wynn catching it at the 16, and he's up across the 20, 30, spins around, 35, 40, and drop down at that 40-yard line. And Slippery Rock will take over with nice field position to start this drive.
Yeah, again, you just can't sleep on Edinburgh. You can't sleep in any game when you're still in the first half. You, be aggressive on the play calling front. Don't fall asleep. I like the aggressive plays downfield they've taken, but I'm also a fan of establishing the run. And I know, again, those two things go hand in hand in this offense, and that's what they need to do.
550 yards of total offense so far in this game, and we're only at the 740 mark of the second quarter. Here's the snap to Roland Rivers. He's going to hand it off to Big Wes Hills. He busts a tackle. He's got a first down, mows over a tackler, and picks up two more to the 45-yard line.
But he's in the open field. If he sees the defender, he almost points him out and runs right after him, lowers the shoulder, initiates contact, and falls forward, getting those extra 2 yards on each play.
And the Rock showing tempo again, and it's going to be play action. Roland Rivers, no, he's going to keep it. He's going to roll to the outside and is tripped up as he gets to the line of scrimmage. He had some running room. But unfortunately for Roland, number 33, Connor Kelly, the inside linebacker from the state of New York, tripped him up, and it'll go for no gain.
It was probably a play I think Rivers should have been a bit more decisive on whenever he decided to run the ball. He stretched the play to his right. I think if he would have taken right off the right tackle, he would have been able to pick up a few more yards.
Now here's play action. Rivers keeps it. Oh, he's going to face pressure. He escapes the pressure, but then the pressure contains him for a 2-yard scramble. And Rivers is dropped inside the 45 down to the 43-yard line. And he had an opportunity to get rid of that ball, but everything closed up, so some good defense downfield, forcing the scramble by number 14. Now here's third down and 8.
Got Carnell Harley one-on-one down here on the bottom side of the field. Wouldn't surprise me if they try to go one-on-one over the top.
Let's see how they do it. As the snap comes back to Rivers, he drops back. Good time this time. Throws downfield, has a man. It's Henry Litwin. And in the grasp of the defender, he pulls it in right at the first down marker. Let's see where they spot this. That's going to be critical.
That's a horrible spot.
Yeah, because he caught the ball at the first down marker and
was
hit and driven backward. And they're going to give the tackle and make it fourth down.
Unless you're making a move to get back and try to advance up the field, that ball should be where it was caught, and so I think they're shortchanging Litwin maybe by a yard and a half.
Yeah, they spotted inside the 35. Here's Wes Hills. Oh, he's tripped up.
Wow.
Right at the line of scrimmage, and I don't think he got there. Boy, Maurice Sims came in and tripped him up, and Edinburgh is going to force a turnover on downs as Hills was only able to get back to the line of scrimmage with no gain. So the Rock going to turn it over, and that one a bit on the officials there, but it's going to give Edinburgh the ball.
I'm a big fan of that call. I love the confidence of going for it on fourth down, the quick decisiveness to make sure they just go to Wes Hills to try to pick up a yard. Sometimes you tip your cap to the defense. Mari Sims was able to get in the backfield. He's been able to do that a few times today from that nickel corner position, and he was able to get a low on Wes Hills, which tripped him up and left the Rock short of the first down marker.
And a critical part of this game is now in front of us here. Because there's 5:39 to go in the first half, and Edinburgh has the ball back, trailing 38-21. And here's a handoff inside to Flesher, and he goes 2 yards and is stacked up by the Rock defense and is dropped backward and picks up two on that play. But the Jeff Marks, defensive lineman, was the first guy to wrap him up and contain him, so it'll be second down and 8.
Fletcher's proven himself to be able to escape tacklers. That's why Rock defenders need to hit and hold and wait for other green jerseys to join a little gang tackling action.
And that was Tristan McDonald that did come in and help out after the containment. Here's a scramble to the outside for Keller, and he has to get rid of it because all of a sudden, here comes Tim Vernick doing a little flex to the sideline. But number 45 from Butler nailed Keller as he released the ball, and it was incomplete, and he was just basically getting rid of that ball.
And today's football, and you don't really see it as much at this level as you do at the professional level, you hold your breath on plays like that. You're looking for yellow flags somewhere, and I thought maybe we'd be in that territory, but they opted to keep the laundry in the pocket.
Yeah, if that was an NFL call, that would have been a penalty. Third and 8 now for Edinburgh. Here's the snap to Keller. He looks, he throws, he has a man, it's knocked down! Eric Glover-Williams was right there, and he knocks it down for the incomplete pass, and it'll be a punting situation.
Good play. He did allow the wide receiver to get beyond him, but I think he understood where the route was going to be. And actually, you had a nice design pattern. They had the inside wide receiver. You had two men at the top. Inside guy did a little bit of an S route, moving his way to the outside. So Rock defenders, the cornerback, switched on that. And then you had Eric Glover-Williams coming back into coverage. If Keller floats that ball over the top, that actually could have went for a big play. Nicely designed route. They just weren't able to execute it.
Here's the punt now, and it's right to Jermaine Wynn at the 20. He avoids a tackle, gets to the 25 before he's dropped, a five-yard return. But we've had two situations for the Rock defense where they have forced Edinburgh to punt the ball away. Two big plays made, that one by Eric Glover-Williams, and remember the sack by Chad Kuhn back right at the start of the second quarter, actually, here. And it forced Edinburgh to punt. So the Rock still leads at 38-21, 4:47 mark, as we see a little hint of sunshine coming in from the north over the dark skies that are covering Mahalik Thompson Stadium here on homecoming. But it's been a bright, smiley day for the Rock thus far as they take back over offensively at their own 25-yard line. Wes Hills sidecar to Roland Rivers. It's going to be a screen pass to Hills, and he drops it. And Edinburgh scrambling like it was a backward lateral, but it was not. And he just gets back up and walks to the pile as they go to the end zone, but it was ruled down incomplete by the officials very, very quickly. Second down. 4:42 mark of the second quarter here. Bob Cupp and Tyler Friel with you here this afternoon for Rock Football. 38-21 the score. You're listening on the Rock Station 97.7, also streaming at 977rocks.com. And if you go to rockathletics.com, you can actually hear our broadcast and see the game on the video stream produced by the Athletic Communications Department here at Slippery Rock University, led by John Holtz. Here's a pass now to the outside. Henry Litwin catches it from Roland Rivers, and he's going to be stopped short of the 30-yard line.
See, they went the other way on this. In my opinion, Litwin caught the ball and was taken back and then tried to advance for a few more yards, but they marked it where he caught it.
And he caught it at the
29-yard
line, but went back to the 28, I think. I don't know.
Either way,
he marked it at the 28. Picked up three, bottom line. Here's the snap on third down. Roland Rivers has a lot of time. Great work by the offensive line today.
Man.
Austin Scott all alone. He's got a first down grab, goes into Edinburgh territory. He caught it at the 43 and gets to the 43 of the Rock and gets to the 43 of Edinburgh because nobody was nearby. The closest defender was Mari Sims, and he must have been taking a nap.
That throw will only go for, at least from the point of where he threw it to where it was caught, maybe 20 yards. That's a heck of a throw. I mean, that shows the arm strength of Roland Rivers to deliver a strike to the far sideline.
Here's a play fake to Wes Hills, and he dumps it off quickly to A.J. Alexander, the tight end. He's tripped up as he crosses the 40 down to the 38-yard line. So he'll pick up three on that particular play.
I've been impressed with the play of Mari Sims so far today. He finds himself in the backfield, but his tackling style, I mean, him versus A.J. Alexander. Alexander wins that size battle by far and away, but he tackles low. He's trying to get a body on the offensive player just to be able to bring him down. Nothing flashy, just a simple fundamental play.
Second and seven handoff. Wes Hills has a big hole right up the gut. He's got a first down carrying more. Down across the 30, he's going to be dropped at the 20. Big Wes Hills powering for 18 yards on the ground.
Nice job by the offensive line to create enough room for Wes Hills to run. They opened up space. No one there at that linebacker position. They all got sucked into different gaps, none of which that Wes Hills was running through. Takes advantage of a lot of green in front of him and picks up the first down.
At the 20-yard line, first and 10 Rock, and it's a keeper. Roland Rivers, he's got running room. He's got a lot of room. He's going to run for the touchdown, kids. 20 yards, and he's still going.
He's still running.
He runs to the scoreboard. Roland Rivers on the keeper. What a great fake he had to Wes Hills, and he runs right up the gut. Boy, the offensive line for Slippery Rock today is creating some monstrous holes and just giving time for decades, it seems, in the backfield for Roland Rivers. And we have a flag late. I think they're going to
excessive celebration.
Yeah, I think they're going to pick on Roland because he got a little excited there after the 20-yard touchdown.
And the officials are talking. I think you're right. So, what the option has always been, let's just hear the call here.
He's probably going to call him for delay a game.
They're going to get it on number nine.
It's offsetting penalties. So apparently Brandon Alexander, the strong safety, and Austin Scott got into a little discussion, and they get flagged as a result. So nothing doing there. They didn't penalize Roland for his celebration. He just kept running. That's all. You know, he had the motor going.
Something I've never done. I've never run further than I've had to.
Here's the extra point try for Jake Chapla. And the score is now 45-21, and we're only in the second quarter, kids. 2:32 to go. Let's take a 30-second timeout, and we'll be back with more Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Slippery Rock University football team on 49 plays so far today, 449 yards in this opening half. And Roland Rivers now with a 20-yard touchdown run has made it 45-21 in favor of the Rock, capping a six-play, 75-yard drive that went for 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and we're getting set for the kickoff here. So a very happy homecoming crowd so far here today at Slippery Rock University.
You've been entertained, no question. If you like points, you came to the right spot. But I wanted to go back and talk a little bit about the option, because we've seen it in various styles, whether you're talking Tom Osborne, triple option, the way we see Navy or Army run it now. But there's also the option at this level in the air raid offense, where the quarterback, there's a lot of decisions quarterback needs to make during the play, whether it's a handoff to Wes Hills or whether he keeps it himself. And whenever you're getting big plays from a guy like Wes Hills, that's when the option comes into play, because all of a sudden your other guys become effective runners.
Here's a little kind of a scat kick by Jake Chapla. They are just trying to contain Kyle Gaelic in any fashion they can, and he kind of scoops it up at about the 11-yard line and actually dropped it, so that slowed the progression up, and the Rock was able to get downfield and tackle him after about a 10-yard return out to the 21-yard line. And he just kind of, I don't want to say pooch kicked that, because he just kind of lined almost
squibbers.
Like a knuckleball.
Yeah, they're squibbers.
Yeah. So first and 10 for the Fighting Scots now at the 21-yard line. 2:25 to go in the opening half, and here comes Jared Keller with Walter Fletcher. Coming up at halftime, we'll visit with Trey Blandford and Brad Zaffram, the senior profiles. Here's Fletcher, takes the handoff, goes into the pile, moves it for 2 yards, and is brought down. It'll be second and 8, so we'll visit with two of the defensive players here at Slippery Rock at halftime.
I know you're working with a 24-point lead, but I think part of you, if you're Sean Lutz, you have those three timeouts in your pocket. 2 minutes left now in the second quarter, and you're wondering, hey, maybe we can get a stop here and get some points.
Here's Keller. He's going to drop back and has his man, Tanaz Gregory, wrapped up by Eric Glover-Williams, but not before he gets the first down and moves the chains, and the ball will be spotted out across the 35 to the 36-yard line.
However, you have to stop them to actually have that possibility. And so a nice timing route. I shouldn't say timing route. It was a curl route on the outside. Keller just throwing a nice strike.
That was actually James Clark. My apology. Number one on the far side, who now comes to the near side, which is the Slippery Rock sideline. So first and 10 for Edinburgh. Here's the snap to Keller. He drops back. He's got time. He throws it downfield way over the head of the intended receiver, who was Andre Dowdell Jr., and it's incomplete.
Going back to last week, Lenny Williams was able to exploit some big plays down the field, whether it was one-on-one coverage or zone plays up the middle. Williams did a nice job of tossing it downfield. Keller's had some opportunities. He's executed on a few of them, but he's also left a lot of chances out there for this Edinburgh offense. And so when you look at, you know, Keller versus Tomko, he's done some nice things today. But, you know, being a redshirt junior, he's got a little bit more time to develop. I've seen some bright spots, but I've also seen some areas where there could be room for improvement.
Here's a pitch inside to Walter Fletcher as the containment was breaking down for the Edinburgh offense, and the Rocks starting to pressure Keller, but he got rid of it quickly. Fletcher picks up a couple more. It still makes it a third and long, though. Gets looks like 3 yards out of that one.
I think Lutz was thinking about taking the timeout. Saw some conversations between him and the assistant coaches there. 1 minute left on the clock. I think he's comfortable with a 24-point lead and doesn't want to press the issue.
So now third down and 7 at the 39-yard line for the Fighting Scots as the clock turns under 50 seconds. Fletcher will now switch sidecar to the sidecar right, and here is Keller. He drops back. He's got time. He throws downfield, has a man, but it's going to be in and out of his hands. The Rock, one of the Rock defenders went up for the interception and missed it. That was Dalton Holt, and then it almost was pulled in by the intended receiver, who then dropped the ball and is still down, and that is number 2, Tanaz Gregory, who may have fallen hard. He's holding his head, and he might have just taken a good, solid thump to the ground there after missing the ball.
Yeah, Dalton Holt had an opportunity as we get some extracurricular activity here in the middle of the field, but had an opportunity to bring it down. Not a well-thrown ball by Keller. Threw almost off of his back foot into traffic. Went through the hands of Holt and then into the hands of Tanaz Gregory, but he couldn't pull it down.
We've got quite a fracas. A lot of jawing going on right now, and they're having to pull away one of the Edinburgh Fighting Scots. And that's cornerback Branson Smith, who's coming on the field, and he must be doing a lot of jawing right now, or somebody on the other side is starting it. But anyway, it's a punting situation for the Rock after the incompletion, or punting situation for Edinburgh to the Rock, as it is 4th and 7. Here comes the kick. Mark Carter is back deep. It's Jermaine Wynn. Oh, and it knocked off of Jermaine Wynn, and he's got to come back and get it. And Edinburgh's scrambling for the ball as a flag comes down, and we've got a fracas on the sideline again with Branson Smith. We just talked about him, and now he was on the Rock sideline throwing haymakers, and the flags fly. But fortunately for the Rock, they were able to
I don't think they did. Edinburgh's
the walking off the field.
Edinburgh ball.
So Edinburgh must have recovered the fumble. Not a fumble, I'm sorry. It looked like it grazed off of Jermaine Wynn's shoulder and became a live ball at that particular point. It almost was like maybe Jermaine, because of the high punt, was at the last second deciding to step away from the ball and just didn't get out of the road. So now we've got the flags over here, but the Rock defense is coming back out onto the field. And we'll see what the discussion is about. I don't know if this is going to be offsetting or what, but it's going to give Edinburgh the ball with 26 seconds to go, and they're going to be deep in the red zone. And we'll see what they come up with here. There was actually initially a flag that came out very early, and I don't know if the fracas had started at that point. So they are offsetting penalties because of the fracas. Now, Coach Sean Lutz is waving his team off the field, and they're gonna have to re-kick this, I guess.
Yeah, that's
wow! What a break for
break.
The Rock.
Wow, I'm surprised that's the ruling on that.
I really am. But I guess what had to have happened here is all of the fracas and the penalties were occurring before the ball was even received, I guess. That's about the only thing I can reason. So we're going to send Jermaine Wynn back
deep again. You watch football for 25, in my case 25 years, and there's always something that still surprises me. You think you know it,
yeah.
And then you really don't.
So Edinburgh going to re-kick, and the Rock going to get a break here if they can hold on to the ball. Oh, and this is going to be a short kick. And it's going to hit at the 30, and Wynn picks it up and is driven backward, but he escapes a tackle. And here comes another flag as he gets tripped up across the 25 near the 30-yard line. But let's see what the hanky's about. It's probably going to be a block at the back.
I would imagine a block in the back or a hold, and this will just be a situation where the Rock will take it to halftime. 15 seconds now left in the game, or half, excuse me. Just following the ball. Maybe if you want to get creative, hand it off to West Hills, but it doesn't even seem like it's worth risking a mistake. And indeed, it is a block in the back.
Block in the back against the Rock. And so the Rock offense will come out and obviously get ready to take the knee. So the Rock has now been penalized six times for 37 yards. But that's not bad compared to where we've been. We've really been hit with the penalties so far this year. This might be one of the best games for the lack thereof so far this year. So 15 seconds remains to half. And, this has been a 90-minute first half. Just because there's been a lot of scoring.
Yeah, the clock has been rolling a lot. Do you have how many passing attempts we've had? Do you have that on hand? I know we can get it at halftime, so.
Yeah, Roland Rivers, 25 attempts so far. He's 18 of 25, 304 yards, and three touchdown passes. He's not been sacked, and he's not been picked off so far. And here's the snap. And the Edinburgh Fighting Scots are going to be the first ones to run off the field because they want no part of what happened here in this opening half. So the crowd getting loud here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium for homecoming, and the Slippery Rock University Marching Band will be coming on the field to present the entertainment. 45-21 at half. We'll be back to recap the scoring and set up halftime for you here at Slippery Rock University. You've got Rock Football on the Rock Station 97.7.